Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Saleh for Guidelines for Living.
Why are we always apprehensive of the future? Because we don't know what may be out there, what lurking terrors await us, what surprises there may be. We may whistle in the dark or pretend we're unconcerned, but the reality is our world will never go back to what we think of as normal. As the cross was looming on the horizon, Jesus met with the disciples in the upper room. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid." The Greek word that Jesus used, which we translate to be troubled, means to be disturbed, upset, bothered, thrown into confusion. It was used of water that had been roiled by a strong wind, water which churned and was unsettled. "Hey," you say, "that's kind of a picture of my life today." My friend Mariano Godinez, who was a stockbroker for many years in Manila, said that when somebody sneezes in New York, you catch cold in Tokyo or in Manila. Why? It's a global village. What happens following a bombing in New York, London, or elsewhere has a ripple effect. The fact is, no one dwells in absolute security and safety anymore. Walking down the street, you may be struck by a stray bullet in a quiet neighborhood, just as you might be while walking through the streets of Jerusalem. It isn't simply the issue of terrorism that causes our hearts to be troubled. It's also the economy, the environment, world leaders, global warming, and what have you. If you want to worry, there's plenty to keep you busy. None of this, however, came as a surprise to the one who told the disciples, "Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid." Okay, as we face the future, one filled with uncertainty, can we hold on to that simple promise that Jesus made in Jerusalem the day he was to be seized by a mob and taken to the house of Caiaphas the high priest? You can. Here's why. The one who spoke those words was no mere mortal. He was the unique fusion of both man and God. He spoke the word and the raging storm stopped. The waters grew still. He's the one who healed the sick and even raised the dead on occasion. Without taking time to develop my thoughts, may I give you three reasons why you can have peace in the storm? First, you can have peace because of the power of him who bestowed the great legacy on you. Death could not hold him. He rose from the tomb and he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." That takes away the fear of death. The second reason you can have peace is because of his great promises. Like what? Like his statement, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you," and a host of others. The third reason you can have peace is that God, not fate, chance, or evil, is fully in control. When you were a child and were reading a suspense story, you may have done what I used to do. Go to the last chapter of the book and find out how the story ends. The last chapter is written in the book of Revelation. There you will see the one who said, "My peace I give to you," coming again, riding a white horse in triumph, the one who has broken the bondage of death and fear. This is no make-believe story, but a reality.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.